Welcome to Cornerstone Fellowship Online. It's our custom when we gather together in worship to do what we call a call to worship. And if you've been watching online, you're getting used to that. And, you know, this weekend is a very special weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend. And it's a time when we remember the sacrifice that many men and women who have gone before us have served and laid down their lives for our freedom. And we're just so grateful for the freedom that we have here in the United States. But we're also so very, very grateful for the freedom that we have in Christ. And so this morning, I just want to open with a passage from Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm reading verses 3 through 8. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. So this morning, as you gather your family around, let's just take some time to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ as we worship him and as we thank him for the freedom that he brought through his death on the cross. Let's just open with a word of prayer and enter into a time of worship. Father, we thank you for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that because of his sacrifice, we have been set free from the power of sin, and we have been adopted into the family of God. We thank you for that. And Father, we also want to thank you for the men and women who have served in days gone by to secure our freedom. And we pray, Father, that their blood that was shed would not be shed in vain, but that we would continue to celebrate the freedoms that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You are good, good, Lord. you are good, good. Oh, you're the king of my world. Be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he's my soul. Let the king of my world be the fire.
Lord God, we thank you, Lord, and you are so very, very good. We thank you for freedom today. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we give you praise for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. But Lord, you have set us free, and who the Son sets free is certainly free indeed. Thank you, Lord. We
Yes, he died for me. Ooh, the sun sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place. Child of God, yes I am. Who the sun sets free, who the sun sets free, oh is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am.
In my Father's house,
in my Father's. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
In my Father's house.
In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child. Yes, I am.
In my Father's house.
In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Thank you, Lord.
Good morning, church. You're the church in exile. It's a great day to be alive. Jesus is Lord, and we just thank him for his grace and his mercy to us. And we have actually good news to give to you today. With the lifting of the stay-at-home order to a yellow condition, we believe that we'll be able to open very soon, so we'll give you more information about that tonight on the Zoom call. So check with the website, cfaog.org, and you can find out how to get onto that Zoom call, and we'll give you more information. But hey, praise God. God has been good. He's been faithful, and we love you and miss you and can't wait to see you in-house and in-person. Today, I wanted to share with you something that is becoming more and more apparent to me, something that's going through my spirit. When we opened the service, Judy had mentioned Memorial Day and the time of remembering and remembering soldiers that have gone before us. And that's a pretty good segue to remembering also the history of the church. And here we are in that time period, literally in the time period between the 40 days after Passover or Easter time, 40 days after that, and then 50 days would be the day of Pentecost, which would be just 10 days later. So in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, we read about the early church and how that Jesus had urged them to go and to wait until the promise of the Father came to them, the promise of the outpoured Spirit. So they were a group of people in a lockdown. Today's message I want to talk, is lockdown. I just want to take our experience and the roller coaster of that and just kind of compare it to the range of emotions that must have occurred in those early disciples as they waited for 10 days in a large upper room. Let me just read a couple of scriptures, and if you have a Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while they were staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. I just can't even wrap my mind around the events of that particular day. How I would love to have witnessed Jesus' ascension back to the Father. Between the time that Jesus ascended to heaven and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, there was approximately 10 days. The disciples had gathered together in this large upper room to wait for the promise of the Father. The disciples were locked down for about 10 days, as I said, and I've kind of mused in my own heart, maybe I've just been locked down myself for too long, but it's a good thing that Jesus chose Jerusalem and not Pennsylvania, you know, because if the church had to wait in the upper room in Pennsylvania, they might be still locked down. I don't know. They would be under some kind of a red phase or something, but, well, anyway. A lot of people are stir crazy. A lot of people have cabin fever. A lot of people are understandably just tired of waiting. Can you imagine Jesus sending his disciples after they had seen him crucified and then buried and then resurrected and then eating with them and drinking with them and talking with them and then taking them out to the hillside and saying, guys, I've got to leave and you have to wait. I think that when they came out of the upper room, those disciples were changed forever. And when we come out of this lockdown that we're in right now, I just want to tell you that the world has changed, the church has changed, and you've changed. We've changed. This is a monumental time, not unlike other events in the past where the world changed in a day, sometimes for good, sometimes for evil. When man landed on the moon and the footprint in the dust, it changed us. The atomic bombs being dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it changed the world. We entered an atomic age. Over and over again throughout history, there have been times where course adjustments and corrections and changes occurred in culture, which impacts the church. Now, I believe that the church ought to be impacting the culture, but we cannot be unaware that when we go out of our lockdown, we will have changed. The world will have changed. And the church will have changed. And I pray it's for the better, because there are some things in the church particularly that has needed to be changed. Just as in Jesus' day, when Jesus talked about the tradition of the elders and how that the traditions that the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even the religious rulers of the day, the traditions that they had created around the Word of God had literally invalidated the Word of God. So it was hard to find true devotion to God. Well, Jesus turned over a few tables in his day, and he cracked the whip more than once, and he made changes. And he showed a pathway of love and forgiveness, pathway of reconciliation, and a way to live before God that is just, to this day, outstanding and so remarkable. And he called his people to follow him in his example and in his lifestyle and to propagate his message throughout the world. And that message has changed the world. But like any organization, corporation, country, or group of people, sometimes from the inception and the early days of loyalty and devotion and purity, down through the years, there can be corruption, there can be impurity, there can be a lack of the original vision and dream. And so I'm really praying that when we come out of our lockdown, when I say we, I mean the church, when the church comes out of its lockdown, and Cornerstone specifically, but the church in general, I pray that we will have looked at history in the book of Acts and the experiences of those early men and women in that upper room and realize that the changes that God wants to make is internal to us. There are three things that I briefly want to note from this text that I think can apply to our situation today. First of all, we can see in this text in Acts chapter 1, and if I would continue to read in verse 10 and 11, while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you will come in the same manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered, they went up to an upper room where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these were with one accord, devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. The first thing that I would like to note, it's just a question. And the question is, why try to figure out when Jesus will return? I understand why we want to know. We want to understand, are we living in the last days? And scholars tell us that since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have literally been living in the last days ever since then. So it's been 2,000 years. But why try to figure out when Jesus is going to return when he himself said, "I don't know when I'm returning. That's the angels of heaven. That's reserved for the Father. Even the angels of heaven don't know when I'm returning." So why be fixated on when Jesus will return when we could actually receive the Holy Spirit who has come? Think about that. I'm with you. What could be better than Jesus returning? Well, apparently, the Holy Spirit coming is better than Jesus returning right now. You know, some have said, and I like this thought, I think this is very accurate, that when Jesus pulled his disciples aside shortly before he was crucified, he recorded, it's recorded in John, that he said to his disciples, to them, that it was better for them that he would leave so that the Spirit could come. Which is a way of saying, in this next season, it will be better for you that the Spirit of Christ dwell in you rather than for me to be standing in front of you. And I pray that when we come out of this, that we will depend on the Spirit of God. We will so embrace the Spirit of God. We will so be endued with the power from the Holy Spirit that when we come out, we represent Jesus more fully, more accurately, more as intended. Why search the heavens looking for Jesus' return when we could receive the Holy Spirit who has come? That would be first. You know, the church has kind of been in this, let's circle the wagon and, you know, pray that God gets us out of here. But Jesus actually prayed for his disciples that God wouldn't take them out of the world. He wouldn't be taking us out of the world anytime soon, but that God would keep us in the midst of this world. You and I are here for a purpose. So it is better for us to be here now, filled with the Holy Spirit. So again, why try to figure out when Jesus is going to come again when we can receive the Holy Spirit who has come already? Secondly, in verses number 15 and 20, we read, In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, and a company of persons was all of them were about 120. And he said, "Brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling down headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akladama, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.'" The second point I'd like to make is, why mourn the Judas that we lost when we could celebrate the Peter who was restored? What do I mean by that? Judas, handpicked by Jesus, ate and drank with Jesus, walked with Jesus 3.5 years. And the whole time he carried a political spirit. He was a zealot. He was there trying to find a way to overthrow his government. Well, the Romans. As a zealot, he was plotting with his brothers to assassinate, to murder, to kill, to destroy any government leaders in an effort to overthrow the Roman government. In his religious zeal, he adopted a political zeal. And my personal opinion is that he thought Jesus might be a way to overthrow the Roman government. I want you to notice that he had the same exact opportunities that all the other disciples had. He had as much access to Jesus as he wanted. And I believe that Judas even loved Jesus. And I believe that Judas regretted betraying him. I certainly believe that. But he was corrupt through and through. Judas is gone. And I say good riddance. I don't mean to be mean. God is not as flippant as I am. You know, God takes no delight in the death of the wicked, certainly not Judas. But Judas represents corruption. And corruption needs to be rooted out of the church at any level it finds itself. Whether it be a pastor who has been unfaithful with finances, a pastor or priest, an elder, a deacon, church leader who has abused children, abused women, abused people, sexually exploiting to their own advantage, those things should be exposed. They should be convicted. they should be repented of and hopefully restored. But if not, then I say good riddance. Why would we mourn the corruption of a Judas who was lost when we can celebrate Peter who was restored? Peter had his moment of weakness as well, and he betrayed the Lord. He denied the Lord. He even swore an oath that he never met him and knew him. But Peter, unlike Judas, repented. Peter humbled himself and was fully exonerated by the Lord Jesus Christ because the Lord saw his heart and restored him. Brothers and sisters, when we come out of this lockdown, I pray that the church will have dealt with any small or large corruption anywhere that is found. I pray that God finds us humble and devoted and passionate for Jesus Christ. And I pray that all of our idols that we've made and created would be cast down and we would have been done with them. I pray that we will have come home to our families and restored order in our families, and come home to our churches and restored order in our churches. And I pray that when we come out of this lockdown, that the church will have been changed. It will have been purified. And it will be a better representation in the world. I'm searching my own heart and praying that you search your heart, that God might find any areas of corruption or deception or manipulation or exploitation, so that the church might be pure and holy and a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you hear that from a heart of love and compassion and desire. And I've watched too many people hurt. And I want so desperately for the church to be a healing place and not a hurting place. So let's not mourn Judas. He's gone. Number three, and I will look into verse number 21 right now, if you would look there with me. Acts chapter 1, verse 21. I just want to read the selection of someone to replace Judas, and it came about this way. Take one of the men who have accompanied us during the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. And beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. I just want to stop for a second and say Matthias would also be called Levi. And Levi was the man that Jesus found at a receipt of custom, a coin or a money changer. And Jesus looked at him across from the way, and he pointed to him and he said, "Come follow me." And Levi stood up from that money, a table full of money and profit, and walked away from it all and followed Jesus. And now he's in the upper room. So his name is Levi or Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So Matthias or Levi took Judas' place. So the third point that I'm suggesting today is why pray one more day? Remember, they're in the upper room praying for 10 days. Why pray one more day for God to do something when He is waiting for us to do something? I think that it was brilliant of Peter, and I believe it was by the Spirit of God, that in his time of prayer, as he's praying with one accord with the other disciples, he feels in his spirit there's something that's not in order and it needs to be set in order. So here we are praying for the promise of the Father, and what does Peter do? He gets up and says, wait a second, before the Holy Spirit is poured out on us, before the promise comes, let's get our house in order. Let's get our house in order. Why pray one more day for God to do something when perhaps He is looking for you and for me to do something? I believe that we should go home to our families. I believe that we should look deeply inside and look at the things that are not in order. I believe that the church needs to be reestablished in the order that God has arranged. Not through some kind of a governmental, not through some kind of democratic process, not through some kind of popular notion or feel-good attitude, but by looking at biblical standards and appointing families as they ought to be and appointing churches as they ought to be and reordering and reordaining and putting into place and putting into order the things that should be there. So Judas was gone, but someone needed to take his place. Someone needed to take his place. So while the church is oftentimes, as I'm wont to do, I'm praying for more teachers for our children. Well, the question would be, why not become a teacher? You know, like if someone should be a teacher, then maybe I should be a teacher. And you might apply that to yourself. In other words, if we're praying for more to help us in the harvest, then we need to say, are we engaged in the harvest? If we say we need more missionaries going out into the mission field, we should be asking ourselves, are we willing to go out into the mission field? Maybe we should stop praying and maybe we should start doing the things that God has called us to. I really believe that when we come out of this lockdown, what's going to happen is we're going to find that people are going to want to roll up their sleeves and work for the kingdom. And I just want to announce the end, like, of a pastoral hierarchy as people have imagined it. The Lord has deputized by the Holy Spirit every believer. Everyone gets to work in the mission field. Everyone gets to share Jesus. Everyone gets to teach and to preach and to worship and to labor together. So I can almost hear Peter saying, we've got to set this house in order. It's like, I can't pray one more day. I can't pray one more prayer until we take care of this. Now, the steps that need to be taken, those are things that we have got to pray through. But when the Lord, through the Spirit of God, makes it available and makes it discernible to us, then we need to act upon it. So I'm going to ask you today, church, would you be willing to be changed in this time of lockdown? Would you be willing to, together with me, say, we are going to come forth from this crisis not only stronger, but better and changed? And that thing of normal, it's going to be a new normal, not a forced normal. Not a returning to an old normal, but a new normal. it's going to become normal for us to roll up our sleeves and work together, to partner with the Holy Spirit, to not stargaze looking for Jesus to return. He will return, trust me. But to be busy about the Father's work as Jesus had deputized that early church. Let's return to their passion, their love, and their purity. So we may have a few more days, we may have a few more weeks, we have no idea, but while we're still locked down, let's get our hearts in order, let's get our houses in order, let's get our churches in order. So help us, God. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray today, first for the church, each and every one of us, search our hearts, transform us, and release us into the world. Second, I pray for those who have yet to experience Jesus and his love. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would convict the heart that Jesus is Lord. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. God bless you. I love you, church. Let's do this.